الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العظم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في موقعه كتابه المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوا بها صدق الله العلي العظيم صلاة الله محمد وعلى محمد We seek help and assistance from the Imam of the time. Through him, let our hearts be open to have a deeper understanding of divine realities that is within us and that surrounds us. On the very first night, we pointed out to certain important questions, and with the help of Fadhakkirin Nafa'at al-Dhikra, I would remind my dear brothers and sisters that we really need to find out that why we are gathering, why we are here, what is the purpose of it, and where do we like to see ourselves after these 10 nights, after these 10 nights of discussion that we have done. It is for sure that we will not be able to pay the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given its dues if we at least do not investigate, indulge, try to inquire the deeper teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. As mentioned by Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amali in one of his book called Noor Ala Noor, in which he discusses the importance of azkar, chanting, zikr. He clearly points out that it is very important to know for a swimmer the depth of the water that he is swimming. If he is unaware of the depth of the water, he will drown in it. In relation to the importance of zikr and the limits or the numbers which are given in regards to the this much number of zikr, of this much number of chanting must be done on a particular day, on a particular night, so on and so forth. On the same token, the Deen-e-Islam, the tragedy of Karbala, the Ahkam-e-Ilahi that we have, the spirituality that exists within our school, it is very important that we realize the depth of it. If we don't do that, we will have not fulfilled its dues, that is in its own place, but at the same time we will not be able to fully benefit from it. If we have the realization and understanding, the ma'rifah, if you want to call, then we will be able to fully benefit from it and see its effect, and it will lead us to places. So that's what we are trying to do here. I know, I'm fully aware that it might be a bit difficult to digest, but I'm trying my level best to bring down these ma'arif, these understanding of the masumeen, of the imams, so that we could have surface understanding, of some understanding to what really happened in Karbala and how and why. And while understanding that, we want to use this as wa ilayhi raji'un. And that is what we've been trying to discuss. Now I'm moving towards my topic now. This was just a premise. We said that phenomena, brotherhood, Karbala. So it is inna lillah. And we are trying to look at wa ilayhi raji'un. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So it begins with Karbala, brotherhood and phenomena. So we've been for the past two nights trying to point out to this given reality, this divine reality that is existing, which is phenomena, which manifest in that alam-e-misal or in that intermediary world or in that inner circle which we have called in the concept of brotherhood. So it is that reality, which is one reality, now it manifests into that inner circle, into that intermediary world, into that alam-e-misal as brotherhood, and from there it manifests into Karbala. And the success story of Karbala is based on that. Every success story of any given movement, any given reality that have reached its apex, that has reached its perfection, is this reality that exists, which is called brotherhood, ukhuwat. And once again, for new sisters who have arrived, this brotherhood doesn't mean that we are only discussing about brothers here. Brotherhood also means sisterhood. So basically, I'm referring brotherhood as in general, you know, which includes sisterhood as well. So if you look at the day of Ghadir, and the success of Islam is really that ukhuwat of Muhammad wa Ali. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And then after that, if you look at the plane of Karbala itself, so it is that aspect of that brotherhood have given the success story to Karbala. Nevertheless, the one who have composed these whole things is no one but the Imam of the time in Karbala. So it is the Imam of the time who crystallize, who refine these elements that exist in each and every one of us. We have that reality, that divine truth of brotherhood manifested in our wujud, in our existence. It exists here. And we've been asked to emphasize that, which we'll look how that is emphasized, inshallah, when we get to the, you know, to the tangible reality of brotherhood, you know, discussing in day-to-day activity, inshallah, we'll point that out. You know, just in the margin I'll mention here is, for example, expression. For example, reciting of that very pronouncement of sighe, you know, ukhuwat on the day of Ghadir, which is highly recommended. You know, it is just one of the forms of manifesting that out, that root, that truth, that reality is in us, you know, in that form. Because it's a descent from that phenomena to that concept and to that tangible reality, that plane of Karbala, whether that be Karbala on that day, whether that be Karbala today. You know, every land is Karbala and every day is Ashura, right? So that's what it's trying to point out to. That's where the indication is. So now, this is manifested out in that tangible form as well, and it is required. And then when it is done, then it plays its magic. And that's what we see, how it plays its magic when it, that's ukhuwat is recited, why it is so much recommended to recite. Not only the magic is seen here, but this magic is seen in the barzakh, and also this magic is seen in the hereafter, that the mu'mineen will be given the respite to go and choose and do shafaat of the other brothers, of the other mu'mineen. So it's that powerful. So it cannot be just, you know, emotionally discussed and looked and, you know, with the achievement of the sawab. So what are we doing here if we are doing that? It is just like we are trying to, you know, do few strokes in the ocean and finally we drown it. Yeah, sawab and these things are there, inshallah we'll achieve that. But it's not the way how Ahlul Bayt wants us to proceed and excel. Everything is well calculated, every move and every step. The only way it will be well calculated when a person have the deeper understanding of it. When he has that deeper understanding, then he will make that move will create ripples, that move will create that impact. Then only that move would be a powerful move, because it's well calculated. Why it is well calculated? Once again, it goes back to the understanding, it goes back to the marifat. So it is that important. So the reason why I'm emphasizing that is very much required that we discuss these things, because these are the only nights that we have the opportunity to sit together. Otherwise, you know, we don't have the way, we are so preoccupied with it. So now going back on to, once again, to begin with, so that we move once, we take one step today forward, and the step that we want to take, you know, today is that, is it possible to really make that connection to this divine reality which we, Allahumma arifni nafsak, fa innaka in lam ta'rifni nafsak, lam ta'rif nabiyak. It's all grades, darajat. So is it really possible for a lay person like me and you to really intervene, to really enter that realm of reality and truth? If it is possible, how can it that be done? These are the two things we want to cover tonight. But in order to understand this two things, just one a bit of a repetition or a recap of what we have done, perhaps in a different fashion. See, we said that there are two types of existence. There are two types of being. One is the tangible being that is existing, you know, you, me, things that are around us. That's one. The other is that mental existence, the relationships that is between these things. You know, me as an owner, that is a reality in itself. However, it could be a relative reality, a relative truth, itibari, as they say. But that is also real. No one would come and snatch my phone away because I am the owner of the phone. As it is real, it is existing. So therefore, there are two types of realities. No matter how much insan wants to deny the unseen world, he is governed by that unseen world. Whether this unseen world is God or this unseen world is manifested in different laws by God Himself. So therefore, the law, when it comes to the secular law, that is also divine in itself. That's why it is beautifully synchronized with our hearts. Regardless of me being a Muslim or not non-Muslim, I accept law. And that law, whether if you want to call it a secular law, in reality it is the divine law. And the way it is synchronizing is because it's based upon my fitrah, it's based upon my nature. That's why I'm accepting it without chuno chera. Without any ifs and buts, I'm accepting it. Then we move further ahead. As you have these relative law, the concept, we do find that this etibariyat, these relative laws that we are governed with, also have a deeper aspect which is non-etibari, which is non-relative. I'm not the owner of my eyesight relatively, that tomorrow you will get the eyesight. This is a real ownership that I have. So therefore, on the same token, you know, when we kind of refine and analyze and contemplate, we come to the realization or understanding through this contemplation, which we've been recommended so much, that the real ownership really belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That's what it is. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. That means there's nothing but that. So now, practically speaking, on a practical note, to really go towards that goal, is that you and I really have to continuously analyze these things and these relationships. We cannot be focused only on the zahir, only on the outward things, but we have to reflect upon the batin, upon the true reality that is there. That is required by all of us. Whether we go in a class and sits there, there's a relationship between me and my teacher. That relationship, which is immaterial, however, it could be etibari, you know, it could be relative, but still it has a reality to it. And that is nothing but hadi and hidayat, the teacher and the student. Although outwardly speaking, you know, I say he might be, you know, Tom, you know, Dick or George, but still that hidayat is there, which is existing between me and my teacher. So how beautiful this relationship of me as a Muslim, although it is a non-Muslim, becomes. And the whole plane of this multiplicity, Al-Hakumut Takathur Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir, changes. It becomes a divine plane. It becomes a single plane. So in our, this is a practical note. So in our activity that we are carrying out, that's what we got to do if we want to achieve that. If we want this plane to be the plane of Karbala, it is that. And plane of Karbala is not an easy plane. The land of Karbala is not an easy land. So if we want to defeat the Yazid which is inside, you know, many times we think it's really shaitan. It's not shaitan. I'm really sorry, brothers and sisters. It is ourself. Shaitan, you know, comes, you know, we are defeated by our own self. Forget shaitan. If shaitan comes here, I will be the first one to run out of this house here. If I see shaitan, I'm defeated by my own nafs. Inna nafsa ammarata bisu. That's it. We've been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa ma rahima rabbi. If that mercy of Allah is not there, I'm grounded, I'm defeated. Because my soul commands me to do evil. No wonder in Munajat al-Shakin, our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his own soul, of his own nafs. He complains to Allah and ask and seek assistance from God. So, I mean, later on the traditions, and when we said that, how can we really achieve this reality? The second question which I mentioned, you know, it comes there. For instance, you know, it says that, you know, your man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba, but this nafs here, my nafs is so, it's filth, it's so low that it's commanding me to do evil. Illa ma rahima rabbi. If I am just focusing or contemplating on that man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba, if I know my soul, you know, I will know my Lord, and I'm not paying attention to inna nafsa ammarata bisu, then I will become the alim who came against Musa, whose story is Alam Baura, whose story is mentioned in the Quran, that he was known to be the mustajabud dawa. People queue up in order that he do dua, and their desires are answered, their wishes are answered. They go to him. He was the knowledgeable one. He was the saint. But what did he do? He's climbing the mountain with the donkey in order to call the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Musa. Man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba. Why? Because inna nafsa amaratu bisu, which he has forgotten, illa ma rahima rabbi. So therefore, that is in regards to knowing of the soul. So now, why did I brought this up? Is because I want to point out to that we think that it's really shaitan, and we blame it on shaitan, lanat bar shaitan, you know, and we pass on. But you see, lanat bar nafs in reality, in truth, to begin with. Once we doom our nafs, once we cut our nafs, then we have to move forward.
So it's this nafs, is this soul that is making us attach to this world. Why did Shaitan says that, okay, oh Allah, you know, give me time till the day of judgment. Where does the day of judgment comes from? How come we put day of judgment into this equation of the creation of Adam, and still Adam is created and the day of judgment is already decided, where there is no question of Shaitan yet? So where does Shaitan comes in this equation now? So that means, regardless of Shaitan exists or do not exist, the day of judgment is there. When the day of judgment is there, the issue of punishment is there. When the day of judgment is there, the issue of test is there. So obviously this Shaitan is, he came in between, so to speak. Or he manifested his nafs or his attachment to himself. So therefore, it is really that our nafs in the first place, which is really commanding towards the evil. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So it becomes very difficult for me to really pay attention to these unseen reality that is existing, that we are continuously governed with. We are just focused upon the outward nature of things, just desire. And we have fallen so much that we think that this outward reality will bring us pleasure, which is immaterial. That's how man have fallen. A madde, a material that is limited and low, we are refining this madda and this material, and we are worshipping this madda and material for what? So that it has something called pleasure, which is immaterial. You know, it's completely opposite. How can something that is dark will give light? In other words, we are worshipping the darkness so that it should give us light. So we are worshipping the madda so that it should give us pleasure and happiness and joy. Do you think that will give? All this stress, suicide, depression is what? Even after having all of madda and matter that they want, they still want to continue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own ways and His own beautiful ways to bring people like this down. With lice crawling over the Firaun and the Coptics, the whole face turned and full of lice. They cannot do anything about it. Musa was summoned by Firaun. Oh Musa, go, please pray. We will let you go. Oh Musa, pray, we will let you go. Musa's dua, the lice is gone. Frogs popping up from the pots and pans that they were cooking. Things that are really, in terms of his madda, in terms of materiality, have no wujud, you know, have no value. But a king of kings is defeated through that. So therefore, it just tries to point out to that, no matter how we want to run away from this immaterial, divine reality, even if you want to call that secular law, it is there and it dictates our life. No matter how much Firaun wants to run away from that truth that he accepts Musa by his heart and by his nature, that is why he's not killing Musa, it gets back to him. He's brought down back once again to that reality. He has to accept it. And that is why he did that, I brought Iman upon the Lord of Harun and Musa in the end. Even after that, even after being the King of Kings. So therefore, to really ponder and reflect and contemplate upon these, the chemistry that is existing, the unseen activity that is here, it is not an easy task. It is really Karbala. That is why, you know, this is what is called a battle. This is what is called the, you know, Jihad-e-Nafs. I mean, fighting of the soul in regards to not lying, in regards to not backbiting, in regards to not worshipping the shahwa and mal and all, that is there, that is jihad and nafs. But where does it begin? If I do not have a clear understanding of this sort of all different levels of wujud and existence that is here, and the energy of that, the energy of these things, and the reflection of this in that immaterial realm, how it is and what it is, where would I begin? I mean, that's the beauty that we find in the methodology of Allama Tabatabai Marhum, that he takes you gradually. He doesn't just open up the door of all the riwayat and hadith of akhlaqiyat and this is it, you got to do it. No. Step by step. One after the other. Inshallah, when we look at the aspect of the practicality of it, perhaps tonight, maybe we would be able to emphasize few things, few practical things that he has emphasized. And this itself, where realization of what's going on in terms of what relationship is me with you and me with others, and what's governing here, that is also one of the things that he has discussed in the Risale Wilaya, which is one of the unique treaties that he has done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul. One loud salawat for him, please. So now, no one can deny this existence that is existing. One is that zahir, and no one can deny this batin. And here, every law, every aspect of the law have that effect to take us and to make us realize that there is a force, that immaterial force, that alam and misal existing. The more we are subservient, the more we are submissive to this law, to this divine law, or any religious divine law to begin with, have that element in it. I'm not becoming a pluralist here. You know, we'll find out later on. Because as we have accepted to begin in the first step, that even if that be a secular law, it is immaterial and it has that effect. Let's begin it over there. Then obviously when it is a religious law, whatsoever religion that may be, will have a greater and a deeper effect upon that soul. So now when we look at, for example, we really don't want to get into the nitty-gritty or the graphics of, you know, different laws and how it is. But for example, if we just look at the law, the Islamic law itself, we find that by fulfillment, by participation of this law will release us from the shackles of this materiality that we are talking about. The example that we gave first night was the example of zakat, for example. You know, this is not that I get attached. This is that the quality of that, the reality of that intermediary world, which is generosity, which is a truth, which is a reality. I should come closer to that. And I should come to the realization that, Ya ayyuhal insan, antumul fuqara ila Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ It is Allah who is Ghani. So I am not being able to give that 2%. And how would I come to the realization that I am faqir? So what is this law trying to do, which is a tangible law, which is something that I have to put into practice in the material sense? So this material law, or this tangible law, is trying to release me from that attachment, from that shackles of this materiality that exists, that I have to come out of it and to become one, to have that communion with that reality, with that truth, which is in this secondary level, in this intermediary, in this alam misal, which is called generosity. And that's what it's taking place when I'm doing that. And I think I believe this last night, when a person continuously does that, he will come to the point where he kisses the hand of the person he is giving, and then he places the the charity. Like, for example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, it's been mentioned. So even that which is limited in terms of his perfection, because he is faqir, is limited. Compared to me, he doesn't have and I have. But even that which doesn't have and I have becoming perfect, because that is God as well. Because that is manifesting God as well. Because when I give, it goes in the hands of God first. Look at the beauty of it. So therefore, what is this all happening here? In this flick of a second, the whole plane is changing to this divine plane and one reality. It's amazing. And it's just bringing me out of my body. It's tajarrud in reality, in the truth. That's what's happening. And in that instant, it happened. And I have seen God. Okay, I move further. Something else in regards to the ahkam, in regards to the law. And the complexity and the refinement that exist, the preciseness that exists in the Sharia law, in the Islamic law, doesn't exist in any law, with all given respect. However, I haven't investigated, but when we kind of investigate the Islamic law, we do find that. We accept that as an iman. And that is happening constantly, one after the other, with this implementation of this ahkam and this law. I'm coming to the realization of something that is more powerful than this law itself. Something that is more powerful than this tangible reality itself. I'm entering into that realm. So first, we come to the realization and understanding that a reality exists. And then we come to the realization that this reality, we are moving and trying to look and see towards it and realize it. And while we are discussing this, we always have to keep that in mind, that bigger picture and the role of the Imam here. We cannot forget that. Otherwise, we will be standing vis-a-vis Imam. Like, for example, how Abdullah ibn Zubayr in front of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Makkah, namaz, dua, hajj, umrah, zikr, all these are Sharia law, all these are that. But is this Islamic law, is it really releasing him from that shackles and allowing him to see the truth and reality of this law? No. It is providing that lip service where he says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I accept you. Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I know you are the Shabab of Ahlul Jannah and so on and so forth. You are the closest one to the Prophet. But what about in truth, in reality? We've been blessed with that, to really see that. The chemistry of it. And it's not easy to digest. Like we said, you know, it is that Imam, right? It is that Imam who brings and refines it and who takes it. Tafweez wa ta'weez is through them. This itself, that we are sitting in this gathering and trying to understand the complexity of it, itself is an indication of that. It's through the zikr of this Imam we are really moving in the direction of understanding that tawheed, that truth, that reality. But at the same time, you have many who are against the Azadari, against this Majalis, because they do not understand what's going on here. This is a tawfiq given to us. So it is vertical. It's from Allah, Imam, and here we are. With our open hearts to really understand Allah. But there are people who are not there. Bahrain, Majalis are being attacked. Afghanistan, Pakistan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Azadari in Afghanistan, in Bahrain, in Saudi, in wherever the Azadari of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is going. Why is that? They do not see And as they say that man is the enemy of his ignorance. That's what it is. He is ignorant of the fact that this azadari is connecting us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he knows that, obviously he will, if he is doing it for the sake of God, he should be the first one in the first rank. But he's completely, but why is he unaware of it? The question might be asked here. It's nothing but tawfiq. It's a blessing that we, you and I have. That Allah have opened our heart and provided us with this maktab, with this school, with the imam. And we could comprehend and move in the right direction. And accept this. I mean, for a lay person outside, it's not easy to really recite Ziyarat Ali Yasin and say Antumul Awwal wa Antumul Akhir. It's a shirk. What are you talking about? But for you and I, it's understandable. We understand it. There's no knot in our intellectuality to comprehend this beauty. That yes, the Izzat is of Allah, Rasul and Mumineen. It's vertical. So when a man, by being submissive to the ahkam of Ilahi continuously on every instances, he is carrying this action out, then he has reached to a point where he himself becomes Yadullah, Aynullah, Nafsullah. That's what it is, right? Can anybody deny the Rasul of anybody deny the hadith of Rasul of the Qurbun Nawafil? Fakhr Razi in Tafsir Kabir discusses all. It's everyone accepts it. So is that shirk? But we've been blessed to understand that. Alhamdulillah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In other du'as in regards to the ma'rifat of the imam. However, inshallah, as we move along, you know, I would try to point them out to. Now, the issue of, because we have to wrap it up quickly. So we said this, this is the realization of this reality existing. And we also, while discussing that, pointed out to that, yes, it is possible for us to really enter that realm. And it is this barakat of azadari of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, of Masumin alayhi salam, by reflecting and by contemplating, which the Quran have asked us to tadabbur and tafakkur on these things, to see and realize that, and come closer to it, to the extent that a person dissolves himself with this continuous practice, and he enters that realm, which is completely immaterial, which is misali, which is barzakh. No wonder the hadith of the Prophet, which it says that die before you die. Because when you die, you enter barzakh. That's the alam-e-misal, you know, that's the intermediary. But the Prophet is saying you should die before you die, meaning that when you completely surrender yourself to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are really entering that realm of misal. And simple examples that we have seen, even for the kummala of awliya, meaning the most perfect of the perfect saints and perfect human beings, the entrance into the alam-e-misal and seeking help and assistance through this alam-e-misal, through this intermediary world, is necessary and required for their journey. The children of Muslims saw Hazrat Muslim in the dream, right? That's misal. Imam Hussain alayhi salam on the 27th night, which is Mab'as, and the journey of Imam Hussain begins on the 28th night. We have to really relate these things. You know, we hear things and we tend to forget, or we tend to not kind of connect the puzzles. And we really have to do that. And our scholars, particularly Allama Tabatabai, you know, he was writing a commentary on Biharul Anwar, and he did about 6 volumes or so, but he wasn't allowed to publish it. Because he was critical of certain scholars, which was looked not ethical or not fit to the society or the class of that time, unfortunately. By not the outsider, but by within. Anyways, so here what I'm trying to say here is that even those who are, so what we got to do is put this puzzle together. 27th night is the night of Mabas. What do we do on Mabas? When we are supplicating, praying in that fashion, do you think Imam Hussein alayhi salam will not be doing that? So what vision Imam Hussein had? What was the mukashifa of Imam Hussein on the 27th night so that he leave on 28th? He saw the Prophet. He had the vision of the Prophet, which is called mukashifa. And then Prophet says, come. Hussein, you have that maqam that no one could ever achieve that maqam. And that, to achieve that, it is through Karbala. Imam Hussein knew that he has to go. Imam Hussein fully aware of it. But that push, that inspiration, that help and assistance from the intermediary world, from the Bar Alam Misal, from the Bar Saqi world is very much needed. Even for the Awliya as well. So therefore, for you and I, it's the same thing. That is why when you look at the practical methodology of Allama, the effect of dreams, people seeing dreams, in the interpretation of that, so on and so forth, which I don't want to get into nitty-gritty. However, with one example that we kind of complain ourselves that, okay, now as it is a plane of Karbala and the reality exists, but it's always this waswas, this forgetfulness that is happening. You know, what do I do with this? You know, I'm bombarded with 100 thoughts, one after the other during the day. I'm not being able to really focus upon what the teachings are, trying to look at the deeper meaning, so on and so forth. What do I do? They ask, I Behjat, the clip is on the YouTube as well, it recently came. That, but I apparently it's like, but I waswas ma chikar bai bikunim. You know, when you have waswas, you know, what you should do. So he ponders a bit and he says, hope, you know, you should be careful of your prayers. There should be no waswas in your prayers. And sa'ir amal tabe namaz mishawat. The other amal and the other actions that we are carrying it out, if we are careful with our salat, with our prayers, we are not forgetful in our prayers. How many minutes is it? And how forgetful we are in that few duration, in that limited period, hundreds of thoughts continuously flowing, one after the other. So Agha is mentioning that if one is careful about his salat, then all the other actions will follow namaz, will follow namaz, because namaz is the imam. So therefore, I mean, this is one a very simple advice, but it's so practical, it's so powerful, that one really need to look into it. Agha Mizbah, in one of the books, I think it's either it's Shara of the Hadith of Mi'raj, where he mentions, a person asks Allama that how can he concentrate in namaz? Then Allama advised him, speak less. Maybe perhaps is this, you know, from one branch to the other, one branch to the other. You know, if we continuously do that, this becomes a quality of ours. You know, it have that effect on our soul. So when we are by ourselves, it's like, you know, it's just we are trying to speak. We are trying to speak of different realities. So when we are quiet, trying to concentrate or something, you know, things like that happens. Now that doesn't mean that, okay, now when we go to someone's house and we just, what? Because Allama said, don't speak. That we have to be very balanced and practical. We have to be very balanced and practical. Because there are many other realities that is there. So we can't say that, okay, if I want to practice this, then I'm going to leave that. No, we have to be all encompassing. You have to be all encompassing. You have to do everything properly. So therefore, you know, one of the things, practical things, and the way of entering to that realm is nothing but that is called purification, self-purification. And then in that you have, it's a journey in itself. Inshallah, if time permits, maybe we'll look into it. And the plain of Karbala is the best example of that. The ground of Karbala is the best example of that. No matter how much the person is fallen from his humanity, no matter who he is and what he has done in regards to Hur, which is said that it was Hur who brought Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Karbala. He didn't allow him. Even he is that, but because of the Imam of the time which we talked about, that the aspect that he could change the destiny of people, so that means we need that connection with the Imam. And it brought him to the level where he has known as free. فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That's the qawl of the Imam. That's what Imam have said. When Imam says something, it is. Because he's the Ruhu Antum Al-Awwal Wa-Akhir, which we talked about. When the Imam of the time is saying, As-salamu alayka ya awliya Allahi wa ahibba'u, Hur is included in that. Salam, which is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Salim, Salamati, limit free, without limitation. Who is that? Hur. Who was he? Brought Imam Hussain in Karbala. So when the Imam of the time is saying that, that means all that limitation that he has is all refined, is all purified. So Karbala and return to the reality is that, is Inna Lillah wa Inna Ilayhi Raja'un. The return to Raja'un, to return to that, is that story of Karbala. Realization of that. And when we look at the elements within Hur, I had mentioned earlier in different place and perhaps here as well, he prays behind the Imam, although he's not allowing Imam, you know, they march together, neck to neck, side by side. And he wasn't allowing Imam Hussain to go to Kufa. And when they stopped the time of prayers, and he comes and prays behind the Imam. Imam said, go, you pray there. Why do you want to pray behind me? You have your own Jamaat. This is all nothing but Imam is playing his cards, if you want to speak. This is tarbiyah. He's checking the water. One should know the depth of the water before one swims in it. And Imam Hussain was the movement of release and relief from the shackles of the dunya. He has continuously done that. If you pay attention to his journey, you would find that. He goes to the camp of Ubaydullah ibn Hurra Jawfi. He himself goes there. And he says that, I came out of Kufa because I know you will be coming. And if you come there, I have to support you. So I left Kufa. And he knows that if he leaves the Imam, there's something negative will happen. Something bad will happen, right? I mean, that's the logic. That's what it is, right? So he said, he even says that, I left Kufa because of that. Here is Imam Hussain now. I'm running for him. Imam is in front, to his face, basically. And he says, come, join me. He says, my horse and my sword, please. And that is why. And there were many who came and who met the Imam. They said that we are going to Kufa and we will provide the bread or whatever, you know, staples to our family. We will return back. You know, we guarantee, we know, we love you and we will come back. Imam says, no, you stay. No. They went, the doors were all closed. Did they have the opportunity to be under the blessing of As-salamu alayka ya awliya Allahi wa ahibba'u? No, they lost that opportunity. Did Ubaydullah ibn Hurra Jawfi had that? He lost that opportunity. But a few days old, reverted Muslim Wahab had that opportunity to be part of this great movement of humanity, of attracting people and releasing humanity from the shackles of materiality. When Imam Hussain comes to Wahab, he wasn't there. He didn't even see the Imam. The mother of Wahab was there. And what did Imam do? Well, He digs open a well for her. Well is like, you know, the source of life. If a person have a well in a desert, you know, he's all for it. That's it. He got a jackpot, basically. But he left that. He doesn't want that well. But he wants Kausar. He wants that real well. He wants that Abi Kausar, which was given. As they say that when Wahab went inside, he battled furiously with that traditional cultural way of battling the Arab one-on-one, and eventually to the extent that when he was attacked from all sides, and when he was decapitated, and before that he returns back to the mother. Look, it's not just the brotherhood there. You know, brotherhood doesn't have any gender. Good doesn't have any gender. Goodness doesn't have any gender. So here it's not just the brotherhood. It's that sisterhood. It's that help and assistance from the mothers and daughters and the sisters. They were the backbone. They were that support and power for them. And when Wahab returns, newly wedded Wahab, returns back and inquires that, "Oh my mother, are you satisfied with what I have done?" He says, "No, go back and sacrifice your life for Abu Abdullah, for the grandson of the Prophet." And Wahab goes back and he was decapitated and the head was thrown towards the mother of Wahab. Mother of Wahab picks up the head and throws it back. And she says, "What is given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not taken back." This is the philosophy. This is the reality of Karbala. This is the brotherhood. This is the sisterhood that we want to achieve. And it is all and all with the Imam of the time. Every person, and it is a given fact, and it is proven in the psychology as well. If a person loves something, he becomes that. Every person who went in the battleground of Karbala have become Hussein. Wahab had become Hussein. That little Ali Asghar who went there, he was Hussein. And every time they sacrifice a shaheed, they sacrifice with the intention of killing Hussein. And even that hour comes where Hussein was left alone. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimeen, sayalamun alladhina zalimu ayyamun qalibun yanqalibun. بسمك العظيم العظم الأجل الأكرم بعدد ما أحاط به علمك بمولانا أبو عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام. يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله بحق محمد وآل محمد, accept this little ibadat of ours and forgive all of our sins.